WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, Murfreesboro's new mayor, Shane McFarland, joins us. Shane, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to have you with us this morning.
Excited.
And this has to be exciting for you. This is you've been serving on the city council for how many years?
8 years.
8 years, okay.
And then the planning commission before that for 5 years, I guess. So it's been 13 years of lots of fun.
And you decided to try the office of mayor, and you got it.
I did, yeah. So it's been a whirlwind since, I guess it was September or October of last year, made the decision to do this. And it's one of those things that I'd be naive to think that I did it all by myself. So I had a lot of good help and a lot of support along the way.
Now, I want to remind everyone that during the first segment of the program, which takes us up until 8:30, we're going to be talking about some of the things that Shane hopes to accomplish with this first term in office. And then we will open up the phone lines, because there may be some things that you would like to see happen, maybe some things that you have noticed. And that's one of the great things about the listeners. They are places and they see things on a regular basis that everybody else can't see. I mean, if there's a pothole and you drive over it every day, you know where it is. Somebody else may not have found it, but you know where it is. So if you have any comments or any suggestions or any request for Shane McFarland, our new mayor, we'll be taking those at 8:30. Shane, as you look at your term in office, what do you want to accomplish? Are there some things that are really on the top of the list that you want to accomplish?
Yeah, I think, you know, first you want to continue the direction that Murfreesboro's headed, because I don't think anyone can argue that even through the economic times that we've been through that Murfreesboro has not been successful. We continually rate amongst the top of our peers in municipalities around us. So I think I don't want to say that I'm going to come in like a bull in a china shop and just try to change everything. So I don't think that's the case. But I also think that there are certain things that we can focus on and we can continually improve on. And one of that's customer service. You know, I know, Bart, you're a small business owner. I'm a small business owner. And I want to make sure that anyone who deals with staff, and I will preface that by saying that we have good city staff. I don't think that we could have gotten to where we are as a city without having good staff. But at the same time, I think we can always improve. So I want to make sure when you deal with a city that you may not get the answer that you want, but you come away feeling that that you've been helped. So that's one thing I want to work on. And you know, I think we want to continually, one thing really focus on is making sure that we keep Murfreesboro a safe community. And had a good meeting with Chief Chrisman on Friday, and have got some good ideas that we're working on, and so pleased to have someone like Chief Chrisman that heads our police force and is always trying to think proactive as opposed to reactive. So lots of different things that we're gonna work on.
As you look at some of the other areas, you're coming in at a time when we're having some major renovations, especially with the bridge over Broad, and you're in the construction business, so you're looking at this as perhaps a real value added, and it may not be the value added while we're going through it, but once it's accomplished, we'll all benefit from it.
I think that's definitely you see the construction that we have going on, and you're thankful that we have the activity to be able to improve those things. It's going to be painful for the next 2 or 3 years on our residents. And I don't just say that because of the bridge over Broad, but you start looking globally and you look at Middle Tennessee Boulevard, it's going to start in hopefully in the fall of this year, actually it would be spring of next year. So you look at Middle Tennessee Boulevard that was delayed by a TDOT wanting more studies on the right-of-way, but that's going to happen. Then you look at Highway 99 that's really close, going through right-of-way acquisitions and finishing that up to start Highway 99. So you start running out of areas in the community that you can detour around because we have different road projects going on. So I think that's something, especially on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, because we have such a tight timeline to be able to mesh that in with all the activity that goes on at MTSU. And that's the portion from Main Street all the way to Greenland Drive. So yes, I think it's good to have these types of opportunities, but I think there's some challenges that we have to deal with and that the residents have to deal with while those projects are going on.
As you look at the Gateway project, that's something that has really brought in a lot of tourism dollars, pulls people off the interstate. It's bringing in conventions and meetings and things of that sort, plus a great place to shop. There still is probably half of the land that's still available.
And there is, and I hope that's something, Bart, that we're working on to bring in some more industry and bring in what we call high-paying jobs into that area. But, you know, I like to look at the Gateway because the Gateway, when I came on, had just been approved and had gone through the referendum process. And if you look at our budget, we're about to get our budget this Thursday to start working on for the next budget cycle. I can't imagine what it would be like without having the Gateway, not only the sales tax dollars, but the property tax dollars in our budget. You know, the council took a lot of heat many years ago about, for instance, spending $700,000 in landscaping on the divided medium. But the last count that I saw, just in city property taxes, not county property taxes, the city brings in a little over $3 million a year in property taxes in that area, and that's not counting sales tax. So when you look at the total economic benefit, you know, you could easily be saying $5, $6 million annually, and that's been over the last, 4 or 5 years that's happened. So, you know, the Gateway, I think, is one of the best decisions that Murfreesboro has had to be able to further economic development. And also a lot of the people that come to the Avenue, you look at the license tags and they're not from this area. So the good thing is they come spend their money and they go back to where they live, and we don't have to educate them and provide services for them.
As you look at the Embassy Suites Hotel, which is a phenomenal facility, along with the conference center there, you see two new hotels in front of it, almost ready. And you see a third one getting ready to come out of the ground.
That amazes me. But you talk to our people at the chamber and you talk to our local businesses and you look at, for instance, Parks and Recreation. We have Spring Fling that's going to be here next week. The hotel rooms are all booked throughout our community. So there's not places for people to stay. People are having to go to Smyrna to stay. They're having to stay at different localities because we're full. So I think that's something that is exciting, that people are coming in to book those rooms.
As you look at traffic problems, and traffic is one of those issues that I'm sure people have asked you to look at. Is there a solution? There must be a solution, because some large cities have less of a problem with traffic than we do, so they must be doing something differently.
And I think there is. The majority of, if you look at our debt service that we have as a city, I want to say the number's 38% to 40% of that number has been spent or being spent on road projects. So it's one of those things that I don't know if you ever get caught up with the road projects, because as you get one project completed, another area has grown. I think the thing that we look at that we try to be more progressive on is areas like Joe B. Jackson Parkway and Veterans Parkway. You know, people right now are looking at a road at Veterans Parkway saying, you know, there's a 5-lane highway that's out circling the city, that there's not anything around it. But I would argue that that's where the city is progressive, that by the time the area has grown and needs the service, it's too late. You know, we have to be on the forefront and have enough forethought to say, okay, we need to make sure and alleviate these areas. But you know, we have the part I'm excited about, our new strategic plan. The firm went through the interview process the first of this month, or mid this month, last month, and was selected. So that's going to be something on updating the major thoroughfare plan to be able to identify those areas and go ahead and start planning, you know, for the next 15 to 20 years.
What are your thoughts on public transportation and some of the ideas? Are you planning on trying anything new? Are you thinking about increasing the Rover schedule or anything like that?
Well, it's in two phases. I think we have to make sure that our community is more pedestrian friendly, and that's coming from someone who's a cyclist and a runner. So I think we have to make sure that we give people opportunities to be able to have pedestrian traffic. And that's not just in our commercial opportunities, that's in residences, you know, having sidewalks for people to walk on. So I think that's one thing, to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that the city's more pedestrian friendly. Now with Rover, I think that's a sort of a double-edged sword. I would love to expand Rover, but also, you know, as our federal grant money runs out to some extent, Rover is a great service, but you have to be able to mesh that with the wants and needs on what we can afford and also what the need is. But you know, I think we're continually fine-tuning the Rover routes to make sure that it works a little better. Something I want to make sure that we work on. I would love to see a downtown route that we run through the summer to our free parking lots, and also, you know, when farmers market and different things are going on, that we can shuttle people around the downtown. So we're going to continually work on refining those routes, and Dana Richardson does a phenomenal job on making sure that we react to customer comments and make sure that we move those forward.
We're hearing a lot in the national news about educational improvements and these scores that are comparing one state to the other and parts of each state to the other parts of the state. What are your thoughts on improving what we have here locally? Are you satisfied with the way things are?
Well, I met with Linda Gilbert on Friday, mm-hmm. Mr. Lyons and I did, and that's what I've tried to do over these last two whole weeks of being in office, is to sit down and listen a lot. And met with Dr. Gilbert, and you know, they're working on their budget, and the new school board was installed last night. The existing school board and the new member Phil King was installed, but they're having a tough time dealing with budgetary needs. You know, we're opening a new school, and when you open a new school, that puts different stresses on existing staff, bringing in new staff, and they're trying to do that, do more with less. So, you know, the one thing I will say when we start looking at educational requirements, I'm a huge believer that in Murfreesboro, our residents and our staff and our professionals in Murfreesboro know what's best for Murfreesboro. You know, Murfreesboro is different than Memphis, and Murfreesboro is different than Chattanooga, and I think it's best when you have local decision bodies those decisions are made by local bodies. And I think that's something that if you were to talk to the school board or you would talk to the administrators, that it's Murfreesboro is unique, and so it's good to be able to make decisions that you need to make for your community, and those not be dictated by someone else that is not from your community.
One other area that's a big part of Murfreesboro, and that's the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department. Obviously, they have the parks, they have the wilderness station, they have the Greenway, they even have, is it Black Cat Cave? Is that the official name? Over across from the VA hospital. Yeah, that's Parks and Rec.
That's correct.
And that is a piece of history. So they're involved in history, they're involved in recreation, they even have Walter Hill for future use. What are your thoughts about Parks and Rec? Obviously, it brings people into our community.
Sure, and that's something, you know, when I campaigned, I try to lead an active lifestyle and try to set that, for example, for my kids, you know, being involved in coaching baseball and being involved in soccer programs, and we played at the Murfreesboro Basketball MSC or the Murfreesboro Basketball League this year, and so, you know, I try to be as active with our Parks and Recreation Department. Served on the Parks and Recreation Commission for 6 years. And I'll tell you, there's an intrinsic benefit with the Parks and Recreation Department that not a lot of people see, and that's in tourism dollars. And that's the tourism dollars affect and help the city of Murfreesboro, but they also help our local businesses that, you know, when we say that the economic impact of Spring Fling is $3.6 million, well, that's not $3.6 million that the city necessarily gets coming into our direct coffers. That's $3.6 million that is spent at local businesses. And then we, in turn, get those sales tax dollars that come back to the city. So when you look at Parks and Recreation, it's not just the quality of life for our residents, but it's also the quality of life for our local and small businesses, because, you know, they're supported by the tourism dollars that come in. Now, I think there's things that we continually have to look at Parks and Recreation when, you know, when we had this conversation on Friday, was we're starting to look at the budget, that I'm going to be a supporter of Parks and Recreation, but I think at the same time we have to look at that and say, okay, you know, we may have to hold off on certain projects before we get in the planning phase on some of those, to make sure that we're taking care of some of our needs that we have right now, whether that be police officers or fire stations or things like that. So I think that's something, as mayor and as help with the city manager, and, you know, I want to add with a phenomenal city council, that we make those decisions, that we have to make sure that, you know, we're taking care of not only our future needs, but our current needs.
One thing that I noticed Parks and Rec is doing, and it had been missing in our community, but had been very visible in some other communities that were growing, and that is public art. And now Parks and Rec has taken up that effort, and with the topiaries and different things, and I think they're going to be doing even more. So, do you have any plans for additional public art in other places of the city?
Yeah, that's one of the things really have been working on in the first couple of weeks. That, you know, we have 250 some odd members of our community, that communities that serve on boards and commissions. One of those being the City Hall Art Committee, and I think that's something that we're going to look to extend to where that group can look at other areas within our city to be able to have art venues and different things like that. But that's one of the things we continually will have to look at to see how we improve. And that's the great thing about the Parks and Recreation Department. They are always looking at ways to do different things, to step out of the box, to try different ideas. And that's why they win state and national awards every single year. So it's a great group and an exciting group to work with.
While we're talking this morning about the city of Murfreesboro, there's another complete area that we have not touched on, but still very important, and soon to be even more visible because of their location, and that is the Murfreesboro Airport, being more visible because right in their front door there's a new Walmart coming up. And that's good. If you didn't see the airport before, you're probably going to start noticing it more often now.
Sure.
Tell us about that and what that does for the community.
Well, we just approved 2 weeks ago the master plan for the McKnight Park. And that really is going to be what happens for the next 10, 15 years. Looking at new parking opportunities, looking at, there was some surplus land that that backs up to the existing, the new Walmart, to try to determine what to do. I think it's 4.2 acres. Looking at the old soccer fields, that's looking at where the airport's going to extend, or not extend, but where the airport's going to maybe look at some new hangars, some new other areas for the airport. So, you know, I think it's with anything, the airport's extremely vital to our community. It's extremely vital to MTSU. You know, MTSU is our largest user at that airport. And so that's something, you know, from a customer service standpoint, we have to make sure and take care of our largest customer, which is MTSU. But we also have to be able to make sure that we can mesh and blend that in with the existing neighborhoods. And that's the thing, I think, with the airport that we have to be cognizant about. You know, it's easy. I had this conversation with someone a while back that someone had made the comment, well, the airport was there first. And I think that's a good argument. But at the same time, you know, we could say that, hey, Old Fort Parkway or Highway 96 was there first. So businesses, the road was there first. You knew when you moved there that we were going to expand that road at some point. So, and I don't think that answer feels right. I think that's an answer that we want to make sure that we say, how do we mesh that in? And the challenge that we have with our existing airport is that it's surrounded by four sides with neighborhoods. So if you go look at Shelbyville Airport, or you go look at McMinnville Airport or Winchester or some of the airports that are compared to us, they're not around residential areas. So what we have to be able to do is mesh the wants and needs and make sure that we're cognizant with our existing residents around there. So, you know, we have the extension of the airport that's getting ready to start, and that's going to be something that will continue to be a good thing and provide economic benefit for our community.
Murfreesboro Mayor is with us this morning, and he's here to answer your questions. In fact, he'll be doing that when we come back. So if you have any questions for Mayor McFarland, give us a call, 893-1450. That line is open right now, and we're approaching the segment where you call in and talk to the mayor. We'll be right back. Let me stray to you.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Do you like antique designs? See our collection of Gordon Clark.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
Reset your diamond into a timeless piece from Gordon Clark.
Bell Jewelers is Murfreesboro's most trusted jewelry store for 134 years. If Bell says it's so, it's so.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City. I'm inviting your family to come do business with my family. Here at Animal City, not only do we carry a full range of great products for your dogs and cats, you'll also find a host of items for your more exotic family members, like your hedgehogs or sugar gliders. Here at Animal City, we are happy to help you create or maintain the aquarium setup of your dreams, either fresh or saltwater. So come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Roberts Auto Repair, honest and fair, on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Forget spending thousands of dollars at the dealership and come see me. We have complete maintenance schedules just like the dealer. At Roberts Auto Repair, we're always honest, always fair.
Good morning. We've got traffic moving well in Murfreesboro at this time. I-24 at 96, I-24 Medical Center Parkway. Two accidents, though, on I-24 West. We have I-24 West at Almaville Road and Sam Ridley Parkway. Two separate accidents in that same area still clearing. I-24 West at Waldron Road. Three cars involved in that accident. So lots of congestion, lots of problems there for us this morning. Dr. Robert Landsberg, Rivergate Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery, is one of the best arthroscopic surgeons in Middle Tennessee. Call 264-4785 or go online to drlandsberg.com. I'm Randy Bryan with traffic on WGNS.
We thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see periods of scattered showers and storms here this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the mid-70s, and winds out of the southeast around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 66.
Hi, this is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Combine SIS at 2230 Mercury Boulevard next to Tractor Supply. Would love to welcome you to First National Bank of Murfreesboro and have you as a customer. Member FDIC.
The Action Line, Rutherford Issues, The Morning News, Swap and Shop, The Crewman Show. We're keeping it local on WGNS. AM, FM, online.
First of all, I would like to say a word or two. I know you won't be thinking this applies to you, but it's true, and it do.
Hey, welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Mayor Shane McFarland is with us this morning. 893-1450. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Mayor McFarland. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good. Did you have a question?
Well, yes, I do. Excuse me. Mayor, I know you're just starting off, getting the job, getting everything instigated and everything, and getting yourself acclimated. I was just wanting to know, what do you plan on doing about closing down the crack houses in Murfreesboro and the house of prostitution? I've been told by a cabbie there must be at least 65 crack houses in Murfreesboro, if that's not an exaggeration. And I would just like to know how you plan on, taking care of this major problem that's becoming worse, and the violence that's a result of it, and it just seems like it's just increasing, and I just want to know how you're going to deal with that particular problem.
Well, thank you for the question, and I think you bring up a good point. As we have the growth, we're going to be dealing with some urban problems and urban issues that we've not experienced before. To talk about those specific houses and areas, I met with Chief Christman on Friday, and that was one of the questions I asked him, and can't go into a lot of their policing ways that they take care of those items, because I don't want to give information as far as how they do that. But I can say that that's something that is on the forefront of not only Chief Christman but myself. And, I think that's something we're going to be looking at this budget time to make sure that we're giving them the resources they need. And I think there's different ways that we handle those issues, and that's through code enforcement, legally be able to handle those issues. And I also think it's something you look at the city of Murfreesboro, that we partner with all of our federal and state jurisdictions any possible way that we can, and that's something I think if you look at Murfreesboro, that we have had a track record of working with TBI, ATF, FBI, the DEA, all of those different agencies. So, caller, I would tell you that's something that's going to be on the forefront. That's something that we're going to continually work on. Unfortunately, I just can't go into telling you exactly every way that they're working on that, but please know that's something that is going to be a priority that we'll work on.
By the way, if you have any questions about issues that personally concern you, maybe something that's in your neighborhood that you'd like for the mayor to maybe check in on, this is a good opportunity for you to call 893-1450 if you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a suggestion on traffic signals or signs needed to warn people that their children playing, things of that sort. 893-1450. That's all you do. Just dial that number, and you'll be on the air with our new mayor. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mayor McFarland.
Hello.
Hey, good morning.
I'd like to ask the mayor on the recycling station down on West Main Street. Why is it closed so much? I know why it's closed, but I was down there about 10 days ago, and they had two fillers, containers down in is already full, and I imagine the gentleman's fixing to close it down, but, and we have a trash truck that's sitting down there running all day long, taking trash in there, taking out at the landfill. And I understand that those tanks is going out at, where is that there, that John, is that on that new company out there, the ship stuff? That they've taken them out there and taken them away from down there. I'm gonna now have another thing. That money has been taken out on our water. I think it's $3 some month. Nothing's never been done about it. And because I've had the assistant manager tell me on the radio about 7-8 months ago. On my driveway, the pipe is about 3/4 full. He said they had a machine, and he'd get somebody to come out and do it. That's been 7-8 months ago. I don't think it. They find out. They say they're going to do something, and they don't check and see if it's been done. Thank you.
Well, let me get your last question first, and if you don't mind, if you would call my office. 849-2629, and please leave your address. I will make sure and follow up as far as your drainage issues. What Bart, what he's talking about, in 2009, 2010, we were mandated by the federal government to start a stormwater management program. That stormwater management program treats the water before it gets into our local tributaries, the West Fork and Stones River. So what that did is that immediately brought on about $1.5 million budget that we, the worst mandates are the ones that start with U, the unfunded mandate. So we had to start a stormwater fee, and that's what the caller's talking about. So that's on your water and sewer bill. It's about $3.25 a month. It's much higher for commercial users because it's based on the amount of impervious or the amount of concrete and pavement that you have on your property. So last year when we went through the budget phase, the council really questioned and had some questions on our stormwater fund. We had built up quite a reserve over the last 4 years, 5 years, a big fund. It was in the $4 million range. So we asked staff to come back with a capital improvement plan on how we're going to use that money, because the last thing we want to do is continually collect money and not use that. So Sam Huddleston and his staff did a phenomenal job working with the Water and Sewer Department and came up with a 5-year plan on working on different areas in our community that need drainage help. A good example is Leaf Avenue in our older sections where what the caller's talking about, there's not curb and gutter and stormwater grates, so we have to rely on ditch systems. So what that stormwater fund is now going in and helping, for instance, a lady on Leaf Avenue, Miss Jones, who've worked with for a couple years on working on those situations, out on Kimbrough Road drainage situations, here where the Kentucky Fried Chicken used to be on South Church Street and Broad Street, to work on those drainage issues. So We're working really hard and going to stay committed as a city council and mayor to put that money to work. And I made the comment, and I stand by this comment, if we're going to collect the money and not use it, then we need to say we're not going to collect it until we need it. So that's something that we'll continue to monitor. And then the first question, Bart, remember what his first question was?
I should have written it down.
Yeah, I'm sitting here typing into my iPad questions, but I'll remember here in a minute, and I can address that again.
Let's take another call. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on the air with Mayor Shane McFarland.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just had a question for the mayor about what his plans are for the continued fight with annexation of properties. There are several different tracks that they've been fighting for years on people that don't want to be part of the city and that you know, their lawyers have been had it tied up for a while. What are his plans for continuing that fight, or, you know, dropping it? What's going on with that?
Well, thank you for the question. Annexation is always something that's a tough decision and tough things to bring up. I will tell you that the years I've been on council, I can count on one hand the number of times that we've had to say that we wanted to do forced annexation, where we had to annex a property that someone didn't want to be annexed. 99% of the time, if we will annex when someone wants to be annexed. The issue that the caller's talking about, for instance, out in the Blackman area, by state law, we call it the donut law, that if you have a donut and in the center of the donut, that's, say, for instance, county area that's in the county. Well, if you are surrounded by the city and you're completely surrounded, in all around you there's nothing but city property, by state law, we do not have a choice but to annex that property into the city. And that's for various reasons. You can't have an island of the county that's surrounded by the city because, one, it's not safe for service providers because they don't know, well, is this county? Should we respond to this call? Is that the sheriff's department? Is that the volunteer fire department? So that's state law. And so I would tell the caller on, you know, the lawsuits that over the last 5 years or so, that was something that city council really had their hands tied behind their back because that's a state law. I will tell you from an annexation standpoint that, and I think I can speak for the city council on this, that we do not go out looking to annex property just to be able to say we're gonna annex someone, because the argument, it costs the city when we annex, because a lot of the places that we annex do not have services to be where we can provide the services. So I think that's something that we have to be able to be, you know, cognizant about, and we'll work on making sure that we try to mesh with our county residents as well.
You talk about the donut law. Let's do a switch on that. Mm-hmm. There are places inside the heart of Murfreesboro. I don't mean on the extreme edge, but right in the middle of where things are happening, and there's subdivisions all around them with sewer, water, things of that sort. And these pockets in our city don't have sewer. Some of them, I guess they all have water now, but there are several of them that don't have sewers. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, there's several, you know, you may have a house that was built 60 or 70 years ago that still is operating off of a septic system, but they have sewer in front of their property. So what will happen over time that those septic systems will fail and then they'll connect to the sewer. So, you know, I think there's going to be, as we go along, that we see where a good example out on Halls Hill Pike, you know, we have sewer that goes down Halls Hill Pike, and someone, their septic system failed and they wanted to come on as an outside the city sewer customer. So they tap on and pay the tap fee and they're connected to the sewer. But no, Bart, you're right. There's older areas within our community that have been on septic for years. Now, that's not to say that the sewer is not available to them. Now, I will say on Memorial Boulevard, I was working with a business owner out there a couple of months ago. There are certain areas within our community that we have sewer, but it may not be on their side of the street. So what happens, a good example is the Sir Pizza on Memorial Boulevard. Never would have thought that business is still working on a septic system. But it's because the property that is adjacent to them has not been connected to the sewer yet. So, yeah, there's areas like that, and there's areas that as the city grows, that services will be better available.
This one I'm thinking about is right off of Battleground, Avon, that area. I'm not even sure there's sewer available on that street.
I think we are blessed that we get to practice baseball on Avon Road. On a homeowner has a field they let us practice on. And there are definitely older areas like that. But you'll look at, those are all larger tracks. They're, you know, 7, 10, 12-acre tracks that are there where, you know, they were able to do the septic system. So I think you get into a point for those homeowners that that at some point, if a septic system fails, that we look at trying to provide sewer. But in cases like Avon, where you have newer homes that are back in that area, and you know, even Allen Drive that goes back in, that if the cost right now would be so expensive just to run the sewer for 8-10 houses that the homeowners wouldn't want to pay that fee to be able to do that.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland.
Yes, I'm the one that called Hardo about the first thing that I said was the recycling place on West Main Street.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me about that.
You know what I said on that, but that's what it was, the recycling.
Yeah, thank you for, I'm losing some memory in my older age, Bart.
You're just a kid.
Yeah. I promise I'm older than I look. The recycling program is something that we frequently get questions about. I know, like at my home, I use a recycling company. We pay $8 or $9 a month to recycle, and they come once every 2 weeks. We have looked at a recycling program within our city before, but it's so costly that, you know, it would be something that we would have to charge to be able to do. So what we've tried to do is to look to some of the outside services to be able to handle those. I've got a meeting first week of June with a recycling company that, you know, may want to look at trying to partner and give some alternatives to the city. What you're talking about is on West Main Street, and that's going to be I will check. We have had this complaint before about the recycling bins being full, and that's something that it's a partnership with the county and city, and we will work on that. I may be wrong, but I think the county takes care of we take care of the facility. The county takes care of the emptying the recycling area. So let me check on that, and I'll make sure that we come up with a plan, because I know we've received those concerns before.
I think he also was referring to sometimes you will take garbage over there or debris to throw away, and they will be closed because the bins are full. Is there a max you can take out to the landfill, and once you reach that, you stop?
I don't think there is a max that we can take to the landfill. I think the issue that we have is how much that we can physically be able to move in the daily time. So that's something I can check into. But again, it's one of those things on resources and how we can allocate those resources to better serve. But that's definitely something I'll check into.
And if you haven't seen the landfill in a while, that place is growing. I mean, you talk about Mount Murfreesboro. It is really growing. It's spreading. How many more years of life does that have? And when it ends, what's next?
Good questions that I don't know the answer to either one of them, but I will find out. I don't know. You know, I know that there's a plan in place where the county has managed, helped manage that. I don't know that, if I remember it, several years ago, the county or the landfill got approved for X number of years and of continued service, but, you know, I don't know what the next option would be. So I'm just not sure on that. I'll find out though, Bart.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're talking this morning with Murfreesboro's new mayor, Shane McFarland. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment. We only have about 4 minutes left, so if you have a question for the mayor, dial quickly. 893-1450, and we do have one line that's open. Only one line, so call quickly.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Find special savings on furniture, which is discounted 10% every 10 days it's on the floor. Keep it local. Donate here. Everything donated in Rutherford County stays in Rutherford County. The Salvation Army Family Store, where your purchases always help us help others. The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
The baby section at Ryan's Flowers and Gifts has grown. Ryan's has something special for the new bundle of joy. Gifts from Ryan's are perfect for baby showers or hospital congratulations. Ryan's also has stuffed animals, Mylar balloons, photo albums, wrist rattles, a dry erase notepad to leave instructions for babysitters. And if you wish, Ryan's will even deliver your gift. Ryan's Flowers and Gifts on South Academy between East Main and Vine Streets. Let Ryan's help you with your baby gifts.
Weather Eye.
We'll see periods of scattered showers and storms here this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the mid-70s, and winds out of the southeast around 5 to 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 66.
That update brought to you by Safe Auto. Safe Auto gets it. That's why they help keep you in your car with the right car insurance for the right price right now. Because at Safe Auto, what drives them drives you. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
This is Alex Johnson.
And this is Crystal Dangerfield.
On behalf of the Lady Blaze, we would like to give a special thanks to the Murfreesboro community and Blackman supporters.
As we celebrate our state and national championship season, please help us by visiting ucaring.com/ladyblaze.
We're loud, we're proud, we're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Mayor Shane McFarland. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bard. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Good morning.
Congratulations on your win for the mayoral position of Murfreesboro. I had a question about the annexation, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You were saying that, you know, state law causes you to annex someone that's in a donut type deal. You know, that seems sort of like a cop-out to me. You know when you annex an area that's going to cause that, that you're going to have to do the other. Now, if you're wanting to do the other, I understand it. But if you know people are not wanting to be annexed, it seems a little short-sighted to me. And, you know, I would like to hear you respond to that, because I know in the past people, maybe they need the taxes and so forth for the city, but it doesn't help someone that's going to be annexed if there's no hope for any sewer services or anything of this nature, because like Mr. Park was saying, the area over there he was talking about, there's a number of houses over there that sewer has never been available, and it probably won't be, but they're in the city already. And, you know, they are continued to allow those folks to repair septic systems because they have no choice. But in order to annex areas so that you have the donut, that seems like to me you're just sort of trying to get around that. I'd like to hear you respond to that, sir.
Sure. Thank you for the question. Let me hit that in two phases. The first phase that you look at, and I think it's a balancing act. You know, a lot of the properties that Bart, when they're brought to us to annex, they want to be annexed. So I think what the caller's talking about, it's almost like a chain. You've got one link that has to be annexed, then you have another link that has to be annexed. So what ends up happening is the donut effect, which the caller brings up a great point, and that's where I go into the second phase. That making sure that if it gets to that situation that we can provide the services to be able to for those residents. Now, the main service that we would have trouble providing would be the sewer service. The majority of areas that are being annexed, you know, as we move forward are all on CUD water. So, you know, our Murfreesboro water system, we've grown really to about where our limit is, not necessarily our limit, but where our legal limit, where we can expand and not get into CUD's territory. So normally medical, police, water, fire protection, all those, it's not the issue, it's sewer's the issue. And the caller brings up a good point. So, you know, I don't think I want to ever, in any decision make, try to cop out and make excuses. So, you know, I think that is a trade-off, that when we do that, that's going to be an issue.
Very good. And we apologize for not being able to take any more calls. We have a full list of people now wanting to ask questions, and we've had a continuous flow of calls all through the segments where we're taking calls. And we look forward to having you back again.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
Murfreesboro Mayor Shane McFarland visiting with us, and he'll be here again next month at this time to answer your question. It's a great opportunity for you, the residents in the community, to talk one-on-one with our mayor, Mayor Shane McFarland. Stay with us. Truman Jones is next on WGNS Murfreesboro. We'll see you tomorrow. It's not a-